Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and with me as a special guest, I'm so excited, is Josh Weber. How's it going, Josh?
How's it going, James? Thanks for having me on.
It's going great. I'm super excited to have you on. Just let's take a few seconds and tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Josh Weber. I'm a program manager on the Hockey App team. I'm actually really passionate about kind of agile and continuous delivery, a lot of the stuff. So I'm excited to be here to talk to you folks.
So kind of DevOps, to me, has really been a big topic recently. Whenever I go to conferences, whenever I go to user groups, people want to know about DevOps. And we had Samina on an earlier episode talking about continuous delivery, continuous integration, which is about like, listen, I have some code. Every time I commit some code, I want it to build. And it'll generate some files for me. And at least I know that, listen, my tests have passed. Maybe I've sent it to Test Cloud to do UI testing. And you know, I didn't break the build. I think that's really important for developers. But you're here specifically to talk about the next step, kind of, which is continuous delivery. And when I first ran into you on the Hockey App team, like I had known about Hockey App a little bit, about what all it entailed. But when I was doing continuous delivery, I was building an APK on my machine for Android. I was dragging and dropping it into Gmail or into Outlook and then emailing it to my team and say, hey, please install this, which worked for developers but doesn't really work when you're sending it to like the CEO of the company that you're working for. And you're like, hey, you know, just go into your settings and do this thing and that thing and then grab your UUID and all this stuff. So how did you get really passionate about, I guess, continuous delivery?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, I spent a lot of time, doing the agile development philosophy. And, you know, the whole concept behind agile, right, is being able to kind of deliver value to customers as fast as possible.
Okay.
And so you really kind of look at the kind of processes behind that as to, like, how do you deliver value? And you get into things like continuous integration, right? Like, if you're afraid to change code because you think you're going to break it, and you don't have tests in place, and you don't have something, then you basically like get paralyzed, right? So you don't want to release it to anybody because you don't know what quality is. And so continuous integration is an outstanding tool and definitely should be used in order to get to that confidence that you can change code and like feel confident that the code that you changed is like a reasonable quality bar when you come out.
Yeah.
You should have automated tests to kind of check yourself to make sure that you didn't regress any features. And you really should have that integration, make sure you didn't break the build, make sure you didn't have unintended consequences. And the automation really allows you to do that at speed, right? Like every single check-in, every single time,
it
triggers automatically, you know, so that the trade-off there is you can start to make smaller and smaller changes and feel confident that that's going on every time.
I like that because when I started doing CI specifically, And I talked about the integrations, like when Samina and I were talking, we're like, you have the build, which is just part one. Like, does the build pass? Like, whoo, that's great.
Yeah, that's right.
When you start integrating services, right, then you're like, okay, I'm going to do end unit tests, I'm going to do UI tests, and maybe I'm going to ship it to somewhere else, or I'm going to send a Slack message, or I'm getting feedback, which I think is important. What I felt was that kind of this DevOps, CI, CD type stuff is all the stuff that I don't want to do. Right? It's like, I don't want to have to do this all manually. Yeah. I don't want to have to go into my Slack channel and be like, hey guys, got a new build for you. Yep. Like, here you go. It should just can be done for me automatically. But what you're going to talk about today and what we're going to focus on, I guess, is the delivery part.
Yeah. So really, I'm going to talk about kind of extending CI. So CI is usually what most people come after first. So usually if you're coming from some like waterfall technique or something like really at a date, you want to kind of modernize, you want to embrace agile or embrace DevOps, which is kind of the evolution of the whole concept. Like CI is a great first place to step. But like once you have CI set up and you feel pretty confident, you feel like you're making builds, the builds are getting then like really you want to do the next step, which is really the deployment step, right? And so a lot of people do exactly what you're talking about. They take their CI server and it goes to like a share file. They mail out access to
FTP upload, boom.
That's right. Or they send out emails with like links to stuff and then people have to go on their devices and tend to download it. But the trouble is that all those steps take time. They tend to be manual. They tend to be very fragile. They break really easily.
Yeah.
And really it blocks that really delivery, which is as a developer, you're producing valuable software, and you want to get that software in the hands of your end users. Yeah. And when I say end users, that doesn't necessarily mean just production, right? Like anybody that's an end user provides value to you. And the faster you can get that to them is that. So the faster you can deploy to your dev team, the faster that your team can know what you're doing, the faster you can get it to your QA team, the faster your QA team is able to do testing. The faster you can get it to the stakeholders is the faster they can complain about what you're building and how it didn't align to their vision or dream scenario.
Like this button is in the wrong place. It needs to go over here,
So trying to accelerate those conversations, to be able to have those conversations based upon real functioning code that's actually on their device, definitely will accelerate your development cycle and allow you to get to the right solution faster.
Gotcha.
And so for continuous delivery, it's really the next step.
So it's kind of, it seems like it's multiple parts, right? There's, to me, as a developer, like you were saying, is like, I want to get a build and then and maybe every night I would like my dev build. Kind of like VS Code has this where you can select a track in VS Code and say, do I want the weekly? Do I want the nightly? And that'll also be through continuous delivery because I'm sure not every night at midnight someone is uploading a package to the server. So to me, I want to test the latest fixes and what's going on. But you said at some point you probably want to go to the App Store and that can be accomplished through CD. Is what you're saying too.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I actually like, there's a quote that a friend of mine told me about DevOps. And he basically said that DevOps is basically the union of people, process, and tools together to do this. And I really like that. Like, you shouldn't get too caught up on like the tools or even the process. Like, ultimately, it's like people trying to deliver software together, right? And so for continuous delivery, the model that most people work is that they usually have different environments or rings. The terminology here is actually pretty fluid these days as people tend to come up with things. But ultimately, you have some sort of a group of people and you have different levels of software. And so as you build a software, you eventually gain stability. And so you, as you gain stability, you want to usually release it to a wider and wider audience. So your dev team probably can take every single commit with of interest to them. They want to see what changes happen on every single commit. Maybe your QA team just wants something that's a little bit slower of a release mechanism. Maybe not every commit, maybe every night, maybe every week they want something so that they're able to actually run through a test flow. Your stakeholders probably don't need to be staying up to date on every single commit. They probably want something that's at a more reasonable cadence for them to do something like that. And then when you start to go externally to talk about larger rings, you need to start to be a little bit more careful, right? Like you're going to feel like you want to have a little bit more of a quality gating mechanism so that you can really control precisely what it is, the experience that your customers are going to have with your product.
So some things may be automated and then some things you may have like some actual, maybe your QA has to say, like, listen, this passed our smoke test. Like, I approve this for X, right? Because there's even like alpha and beta channels and test flight from Apple and Microsoft for Windows, UWPS. We have our own beta channels. And then if you think about NuGet, right, when we're talking about apps often, but often our developers are creating libraries. You have your public NuGets, you have your pre-release NuGets, you have your private NuGet feeds, right? You have all these different channels to get really important builds, because if you're doing hot fixes of a library, you're like, oh, I'm going to put this in my little private NuGet that someone can test really quick, or only for my development team. And you said you're from the Hockey App team, or you were from the original. How long have you been at the Hockey App team for?
No, I've been with the Hockey App team basically since the acquisition, so almost 2 years now.
Gotcha. And from talking with you, Hockey App is interesting because when I first got Hockey App and started doing messing around, there's several parts to Hockey App, but it seems very hockey themed. I mean, it's hot in the name hockey. There's you're on a rink. There's this preseason. Yeah. There's like all this like stuff. So can you talk a little bit about like what your experience is so far with Hockey App and what you've done there and why is it all hockey themed?
You know, it's an interesting story because I joined the Hockey App team about 2 years ago and I was really excited because I played hockey for about 14 years, so I'm a really big hockey fan and a player. So I thought it was going to be that maybe the founders were like really big into hockey or something like that, and so they joined the team, and I sat down with them to talk through the experience, and I was really curious. I was like, how did you get to the name, the theming? It's all awesome, because Hockey App's the best sport on earth. And they actually told me that Hockey App's primary focus and the focus from the very start was always on distribution, really.
Okay.
Like solving this distribution. And they focused on iOS, where iOS and Apple basically terms kind of the side-loading distribution experience as ad hoc distribution. Mm-hmm. And so they basically were creating an ad hoc distribution tool, and they went from ad hoc to Hockey App, as in the app for distributing your ad hoc builds.
Okay.
And then they came with hockey and they kind of liked the theming, so they just kind of went with it. And
gotcha.
I like it though because Hockey's definitely the best sport. So. We do still get some support requests every once in a while. I think we just had a request yesterday that said, why does your app not have more to do with hockey?
There's a lot.
That's definitely interesting.
Yeah, there's quite a, it would be nice if you have an app and then hockey things happen during it. Like you're like, oh, then all of a sudden there's a puck gets flung around. All right, cool. So Samina kind of started showing us the CI part of it. Mm-hmm. And we used Visual Studio Team Services, or VSTS, connected to just a local Git repository. It could be a GitHub repository, anything. And you said you wanted to show off our continuous deployment story, I guess. And there's multiple parts. So it seems like maybe there's some hockey app goodness in here, maybe there's some VSTS goodness in here. What are you going to show us today?
Yeah, so I'm going to talk to you about a little bit of the merging of tools together. So hockey app definitely has some really nice features around distribution, basically getting that build actually onto final devices. Okay. I'm going to talk about how basically we can combine that with the VSTS feature set, especially around the CI stuff, producing your builds and do that. And we'll actually talk a little bit too about some of the integration with the public stores, basically how to use the public stores as well to make one cohesive continuous delivery pipeline.
Cool. Let's see it. Let's jump over to the PC, and we're inside of Visual Studio Team Services, it looks like.
So we'll start out basically with the kind of Visual Studio Team Services. We're taking a look here at our build definitions tab. So this is kind of the standard CI stuff. This has actually already been set up. So we already have kind of an Android release build that's set up. And we actually have kind of an Android nightly dev.
Okay.
And in this example, we have something similar to what we were doing with that you were talking at the beginning. Like, we have the CI set up, we're doing a nightly developer build, but the way that we trigger that is really we just send an email around to everybody in order to share the IPA file.
Okay.
It's really kind of painful to install that APK. You actually have to download it from the share and then do it. So we're going to talk a little bit about how we can take this existing CI system and really extend it kind of with continuous delivery to really smooth out that process, make it much, much smoother.
All right, let's check it out.
So here we'll basically click into this Android nightly dev build definition. You can see that basically it does the standard things for a build definition. It's going to activate your Xamarin license. It's going to build that Xamarin project. It's going to build the test project as well. It's very important to make sure you do your testing.
Yeah, if you need to. Yeah. But as you can see, those are disabled, so I'm not.
Yeah, that's right.
But maybe, that left, they're there, so maybe we can add tests in the future to this.
That's right. Some people are able to do development without any testing because they don't ever make mistakes.
Yeah.
Other people have alternative ways of doing software development. And then basically we're going to sign and basically produce our APK package just like we would traditionally and actually just publish the drop. But the step that we're going to add here is that we're going to add an additional build step to basically take advantage of the hockey app tool.
So this is a nightly build that's being run. Mm-hmm. And every night it's kind of like, this is my nightly dev build. So we want to get that to our developers, essentially, right?
Yeah, so the intention there with this nightly build, and if we take a look at the build definition, you'll see that it's scheduled to run every night. Okay. So it just picks up the latest build from the repo and goes ahead and produces it. And our goal here is that we really want to get this out to our whole development team. So, so that they can check in and stuff like that. Maybe some QA team. Hopefully we're doing some joint QA and QA not too siloed and stuff like that.
Okay.
So really to get this done, we'll just come down here. We'll pick out the many tasks that are available in the VSTS system.
So you hit deploy on here. So these are all kind of grouped by category. You have deploy step and hockey app is here. And it says deploy your alpha and beta builds to mobile apps to hockey app. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And we'll actually take a look here. We'll just click add.
Okay. That one's always confusing. I like whenever you hit add. It actually does add the step. Yeah. I end up adding multiple steps over and over again, which is good.
And so for configuring this this build task, it's just another task on our step list here. We're going to use an existing hockey app connection. If you take a look here, it's already been kind of set up.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite parts of VSTS. You have these service connections, essentially. And we can see that there's, the hockey app upload.
So, here you can see that the hockey app upload's already been configured. This makes it really easy to reuse the exact same kind of service endpoint. You can set up a lot of different services, so we have some Google Play services and stuff like that already integrated. So it makes it really easy to integrate these into your build tasks kind of with a one-step credential place and then reuse them as many times as you'd like.
Yeah, and you can see my name on this one because I was running into trying to set this up, so I came right to you. Yeah, and I was once I had it set up, I'm like, I got to have, after you helped me set up all this.
That's right.
To do it properly. So cool. So hockey app connection. So the connection is kind of like a trusted handshake, right? It's kind of like, hey, this is my, I've logged into hockey app. Like you have access to do X, Y, Z with some API key or something like that, right?
Yeah, the connection basically works off an API key and it basically makes it so that VSTS and hockey app can both talk to each other on your behalf. And because it's underneath your account and both sides are set up and trusted, then you can make sure that they're only affecting basically the stuff that your account has access to.
Gotcha.
So we'll take a look here. The first thing that we'll set up is basically the binary file path. So that's pretty easy in VSTS because it's already set up. So we can just navigate in here to Android, right? And we'll look for the bin folder.
I don't know if it's good. Well, we haven't built it yet.
Oh, we haven't built it yet.
My favorite part is I usually go to the signing part and then just steal the... I just literally steal the very first one.
First one here?
Yeah.
There we go. Copy, paste.
Yeah. So these are some like hard-coded and variable environments that say, hey, this is where the APK lives.
So that'll basically take us directly to our binary file path to get our APK file. Mm-hmm. And then after that, all we need is an app ID. And the app ID really just identifies this app within the Hockey app system.
Okay.
And so we'll go over here to Hockey app, and we'll notice that we already have an app set up. So we would just simply copy this key. I think we actually already have it set up as a variable. So once again, one of the nice features of VSTS is that for these secrets that you're going to need to do, it's really nice to place them in a variable because you can actually lock them. And so once you lock them, you'll put them in one system, but you can actually share this around. So this build definition might be visible to, say, your entire development team, but maybe you have some shared secrets that you'd like to kind of keep with restricted access.
That makes sense.
For security. So it's really easy to do something like this. And in this case, we're gonna go ahead and use this this Hockey app key in our build definition. So we'll go out to the build, we'll do the stuff. And basically, that's all we need. So basically, now that we have this set up, this task will deploy at the end of this step and basically automatically trigger. So based upon these triggering conditions, we take a look really quick at our triggering conditions. You'll notice that it's basically doing any feature branch development that happens from our dev team. It's going to do a CI build that's going to automatically happen. In addition to that, it's already scheduled. So every night at 3 a.m.
GMT, it looks
like.
GMT.
Yeah, GMT. It's going to trigger off a nightly build, so even if we haven't done any development work, it's still going to trigger a nightly build that's going to help us keep up to date all the time.
Perfect.
And then at the end of these build steps, after it completes the final build, it's going to deploy this out to Hockey app automatically.
Nice. And it says down here we have some additional fields, so we filled in the required ones, and you could fill in release notes, maybe those are coming from a file, and there's... What are these publish, mandatory, and notify users?
Yeah, so there's some extra features here around the stuff. The release notes is actually very valuable. It supports Markdown, so you can type in kind of a little bit of a styled release notes. This is going to be the primary thing. It's really nice if you pull something like getting like new developments or something like that. Mm-hmm. You can pull commit hashes actually in there and script those in there.
Oh, cool.
So you can start to do something that like lets you know what exactly is new in this new version.
That's nice.
The publish command basically determines whether or not this is actually published to Hockey app or not and whether it's available. Mm-hmm. Mandatory determines whether or not it's a required upload. So with the Hockey app system, you can actually make required uploads. This is really useful if you're trying to synchronize changes with, say, your backend. So if you're going to deploy a server change that, say, is a breaking change, then your old versions are going to stop working.
Yeah.
So what you can do is you can actually set a new release version as mandatory, and you can basically synchronize that release with your deployment of your backend changes.
Gotcha.
You can be assured that you don't have these old versions floating out there that don't work anymore because you've changed your stuff.
Gotcha, that makes sense.
So especially in things like the you know, the development cycle where you might do breaking changes and not worry about the impact, it's quite a bit easier during the development time.
Every once in a while you want that schema change, especially in early development, right? You're changing your backend code and changing models and redeploying things. Cool.
And then finally, we have an option to notify users. So this is turned off, but if you check this box, it's going to go ahead and generate an email that's going to be automated to let those users know that they also have an update available.
I like that.
Other than just the notify, if the users actually go into the app itself and start the app, it'll actually notify them inside the app to let them know as well. So even if you don't have the notification, they're not using email, they actually get an in-app update as well. So
that's nice.
A couple of different ways of notifying your users to let them know that there's a new build available.
And it seems like for those, so like this deployment step, you got it from, where did that deployment step come from here, the actual Hockey app step?
Yes, so the deployment step is part of the Visual Studio Marketplace.
Okay.
And so if we click on Browse Marketplace.
Okay, gotcha.
You'll see that there's a lot of extensions for the Visual Studio tool that operate with a lot of things. For example, here you can see as one of the featured ones, you see Hockey app. But there's even additional stuff, like if you take a look here for Apple, you'll see that there's an Apple App Store extension.
Oh,
so that basically can make it so that instead of deploying to something like, say, Hockey app, you could also potentially deploy to the production App Store.
Oh, perfect. That makes sense. I like that. And people can create these and publish them and things like that. Cool.
Yeah, the marketplace is actually third-party supported. So if you wanted to create a new app and publish an extension in there for other people to consume, that's definitely possible.
Very nice. Now this part here, now there's like mandatory and notify users where you said there's some like in-app stuff. But if I just wanted to publish it the hockey app. I don't have to install anything into my app, really, right? Like it's just go. If I want the blank like default implementation.
Yeah, so you can actually get the default implementation. The only thing that'll be missing if you do the default implementation is that you won't be able to do that in-app update because you do have to have some code in there to do the in-app.
Makes sense.
But it's actually not required. I mean, like if you just want to do some publishing, people will pick up the builds when they see them. They'll always be notified when they log into Hockey App of what the latest build is.
Gotcha.
Then it's totally straightforward. You don't have to touch your app. Really, all you have to do is just add this single deployment task.
And Hockey App's
and
free.
You can take care of it.
Free some free tier.
Yeah,
there?
There's definitely a free tier, free for your first two applications.
Perfect.
So that's usually pretty good, and pricing's usually pretty competitive for it.
Perfect. Okay. Cool.
So let's actually jump over here to Hockey App to actually see what you get. Here we see that my Step Counter app, the app that we were talking about for deployments, and here we can actually see the history of the versions that have been deployed. You can see that they've all been deployed. You see when they happen. Hockey App does support some other features that we're not going to cover in this session, but maybe in the future around crash collection, some user and session metrics.
But for me, as developer coming in, this is what I see. Mm-hmm. I can manage my app. I have my app ID. There's like a secret, and there's a download pages. And these are everything that's been uploaded. And it actually tells me the file size, which is kind of nice. So I can actually see if there's a spike in file size or something like that, which is kind of cool.
Definitely pretty useful. You can actually drill into the versions, get a little bit more specific information about that version.
Okay.
You see the build and version number of that. You can see what OS it was targeted at. You can actually control the release. In this example, this was actually uploaded but wasn't yet published.
Oh, okay.
So you can actually control it. So this allows you a little bit more control depending upon the environment that you're going to or who you're releasing to. You might want a little bit more control. And then actually we can show off here what the actual experience for an installer would look like, which is that ultimately when they want to install, all they have to do is navigate to a URL. This URL is easily shown. For now, it shows you the most recent version, but you can actually get to the old previous versions if you want to see previous versions as well.
And this is like what they would get in the email, essentially, right? They would say, like, here's a link to go here, and then they hit download.
And since this is a URL, it's really, really easy to share this around. They can log in directly to Hockey App if they want, but the email, it's really easy to share around. We see people share these things on Twitter and stuff like that for public access.
Oh, nice.
We actually have support for QR codes, so you can share the QR code if you'd like as well.
Snap a photo.
Super easy to get here, basically allow it. In addition to that, more than just the web experience, Hockey App actually has native app experiences. So if you're frequently installing from Hockey App, you might want to do one of the native apps, which is going to run on your iOS and Android device. It'll show you all the apps and all the versions that you have available and kind of provide like a single click experience there.
Cool.
You don't have to worry about the email and things like that.
And if I wanted to, so right now if I go here, essentially you just invite people like via email, I guess, right? You would come in and...
Yeah, so ultimately granting access to your application is as simple as basically just inviting a user.
Oh,
so
cool.
You just literally type in an email address and you can have access. So that's the kind of the most easy, quickest way to get started.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey App actually supports a lot of kind of configuration and support mechanisms depending upon your scenario for distribution. So ultimately we support email and the email's pretty straightforward. We support most of the single sign-in providers, whether it's Twitter, Google, Microsoft account.
Oh,
we also support some stuff that's maybe a little bit more business oriented or enterprise focused. Stuff like Active Directory integration. So if your company's using Active Directory, then you can link your Active Directory account to Hockey App. And then you can actually invite users and manage access to these apps through like Active Directory security groups. And you actually have your corporate credentials sign in. So for an enterprise company who's maybe very, very concerned about who might have access to their app and whether that, they can actually be assured that you know, you need to have your corporate credentials in order to get access to that app, and we'll basically federate that out to the Active Directory service so that we're ensured that the right person has access to that app and that it doesn't leak out.
Very nice. That's why I'm happy that I'm not an IT person. See, that's why I don't have to worry about any of that. Like, I just create new account and go.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool.
If you're like you or you're just creating a new account, Hockey App also does support basically a public distribution. So that's basically authenticationless access. When you're creating your new My Step Counter, maybe you just want as many people using your beta or production as possible. You don't care. Rock on. I'm not making any money off this.
Exactly. Go for it. It's free.
So you can target this invite users. You can actually make a public release. And the public release basically removes the authentication. So anyone who has the URL installs immediately.
Cool.
So no delays at all.
So I think that like for development, that's kind of cool, right? So every night I get the CI build. It's part of my builds. It's part of my build step. So it's really not. It's deploying as a part of my integrations, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once you get to a certain level, it seems like, you know, this app is an app that's on the App Store, but I may have like QA testers and things like that. There's like the development part that we talked about early on, but then real continuous deployment seems like there should be some more steps than just a task, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting you talk about that. For continuous deployment, it's really, the advantage there is when you get some consistency. So, you know, like we show off with VSTS, like we show off with Xamarin, like we show off with the Hockey app, like all the tools support all of the platforms, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, desktop type experiences. And when you start to get some of these advantages across all your platforms, especially not just with the tooling, but also like the breadth of where your deployment goes, you get a lot of consistency and a lot of value. So the same deployment technique that you're using for your dev team can be the exact same process that you have set up for your QA team.
Yeah.
It can be the same for your beta external beta testers, and it can be the exact same process for your basically your production release as well. And so when you start to be able to reuse these components across your entire thing, have a consistent story, it can really save you a lot of effort in how much effort it's going to take to get all these processes set up.
Like
and the
that.
Consistency can really help out when debugging or making sure that things don't go wrong.
Sure.
You don't have to restart from scratch every time you have some new environment or some new group of people.
I like that.
So it's an interesting point that you bring up, though, with the release to production, which is...
Yeah, I want to go to production, right? I don't want my nightly build probably going to production every night, right?
Yeah, so there's usually a feeling that you want some additional kind of quality gates in place. This is actually really important. When you talk about external customers, there's usually a relationship that you're developing with your customers, and that relationship has a built-in quality expectation.
Yeah.
And so in order to kind of maintain the speed of development, you usually lower that quality bar, that if a dev breaks something with one build, it's fine, they can just fix it the next day.
Yeah.
That's no big deal, right? Like. You should be able to rapidly iterate like that. However, when you're going to production, even with a beta, you usually want to maybe control even beta access, where you might not want to share features or you might want to align for marketing. And so usually what you'd like is a little bit more control over the release mechanisms to larger audiences, especially when it's something like production. Generally speaking, a lot of people would feel uncomfortable just saying every commit triggers an automatic deployment to the App Store, and then people start installing later, basically with no check other than an automated test. So,
Bug fixes and optimizations, that's release notes, right? It's always consistent.
That's right. Every release note's the same.
Sometimes it feels like on Android apps are that way, though.
Yeah.
I remember I was installing an app in the morning, and then like later that afternoon, I get an app update.
That's
later
right.
in the morning, I get an app update.
That's right.
But I mean, that has to be all, you know, in this mechanism of seamlessly, like, smoke tested, run, all right, it's good, go next, right?
Yeah, so we're gonna swap over here a little bit to talk about some of the ways that you can do this. So these are some additional tools that VS and kind of Hockey App work together to provide that if you do have that environment where you'd like to have a little bit more control than say like the super fast, easy, like always deployed out to everybody and stuff like that, that you can actually have some more process kind of encoded into this that can actually help to set some kind of safety rails for why you're doing this kind of fast iterative development.
So you clicked, this is a different section it looks like now in VSTS, and this is release definition. We had build definitions, now what are release definitions?
So VSTS basically kind of splits the world into builds and releases. So builds is really that CI part, which is talking about kind of producing the binary. The releases is really talking about the next step. So now that I have these artifacts, now that I have these builds available, what am I doing with them? And a lot of the release process is really about encoding that process steps.
Okay.
So, you know, there's integration with a lot of the stuff, which you could do as part of the build definition. The advantage of doing the release management stuff is that it allows you to really codify what is the process that happens for how the stuff goes. And by doing that process, it really gives you kind of some automation capabilities that are in there.
And I think why I was talking to like Donovan, for instance, who's a senior DevOps program manager here, when he does his whole DevOps talks, not focus on mobile, what he kind of was saying is that you know, we had separated in a VSTS build from release because you may be building somewhere else. Your code may be living somewhere else, right? It could be on GitHub. It could be in Bitbucket. It could be in VSTS. It could be on Git or TFVC. You could be building maybe in Jenkins, right? Or maybe just FTP uploading. So in this case, like we have this entire app, everything from start to finish in VSTS, but this release definition doesn't necessarily mean that that build was actually generated from here, right? It could be generated from Jenkins, for instance, right?
Yeah, no, that's a great point you bring up. I mean, we're showing off a little bit of the continuous story here for the full pipeline.
It's nice to have it in one place.
It's nice to have it in one place, but you definitely are never locked in, right? Like all of these individual steps, the CI build stuff can be either done manually or you can use another tool. For release management, you can integrate it with the stuff. All of these things have APIs, so they're very easy to script and automate if you have some sort of an internal environment. environment. With HockeyApp, you can take advantage of the integration with VSTS, but it works standalone as well. So nice. You definitely have a lot of flexibility of kind of composing your pipeline out of the pieces that make sense for you.
Gotcha. So we have release definitions, and I assume they're similar to build definitions?
Yeah, they're somewhat similar, although they're really focused more on the release process,
okay.
Not necessarily, say, the build process. Yeah. So usually the starting point for a release is that you already have a build available to you from some location.
So essentially it'll build, it'll pick up this, and then it's going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so here we're going to take our start, and we actually have this idea in the thing about environments. And so this is that little thing. I would say that the industry tends to be not well-defined on the terminology here. So people call them environments. I've heard other people call them rings. I've heard people call them flights. That's where test flight gets its,
oh, I like
its
that,
test
yeah.
flight name.
Flights.
So they have flights or rings or environments, but really what this all breaks down to, it's the same concept, right? Like it's a set of people or a set of a release that you're releasing to.
Okay.
And so usually it's determined, I tend to think of it that it's mostly determined by the type of personality that you're releasing to.
Gotcha.
So it's always people, right? The people that are in that tend to be the thing. Okay. And each environment tends to have a different release. This maps really well to the server environment where you usually have a dev server, a staging server, maybe a pre-production environment, and then your production environment. So
you're kind of rolling environment releases.
Mm-hmm.
So you would first, in this instance, I would probably want to release to my HockeyApp,
mm-hmm.
and then release a whole different environment would be to the App Store, and then a whole another environment maybe to production App Store or something. Because Google even has alpha and beta, so you'd probably release to alpha mm-hmm. first or something like that.
So I think for the example that will show up here to show something similar to what you're talking about,
yeah.
is that we'll configure here two environments.
Okay.
One environment is we'll make use of HockeyApp because it's really easy to distribute internally. And so we'll basically distribute internally to the HockeyApp group
mm-hmm.
to basically do like a beta release. But we're going to treat it a little bit like a gold master. So
okay.
ultimately, we want this beta to go out to the public as like a public beta.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is we actually want to test it with our QA team and actually get our stakeholders. So before okay. we go live to our production, we need our product owner
gotcha.
To sign off. And so what we're going to do is we're going to release it to HockeyApp first.
Okay.
And so we'll create an environment that's basically the HockeyApp beta release and like kind of the beta release environment.
Yeah.
And then after that, we'll release out to the actual public store as well.
Cool, perfect. Okay. Cool. Let's do it.
So here we'll create a new environment. In this case, we're going to choose an empty environment to start from scratch. Here, we're going to select that for the first thing, it's going to be automatic approval. We don't need approval to go to the QA test environment, mm-hmm. so we can do that. We can actually trigger it so that the deployment automatically happens when a new release is collected.
I like that. So it'll pick up the artifacts automatically. Mm-hmm. All right.
Here, we'll go ahead and rename it to basically the beta. We'll call it the HockeyApp Beta Gold. And then we'll go ahead and basically add a task. Okay. In this example, because we're only deploying to HockeyApp, we really only need that single task.
Oh, okay. So it's the same exact, this is the same task that we added mm-hmm. to our build. So instead of adding it to our build definition, we'll put it in our release management. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because this is going to be a different build, probably like whenever we commit to master, right?
Yeah, so in this case, you can do very much the same things that you were doing before. Here we'll...
This one's nice because it actually is, right? So this one actually has the artifacts.
It does have the artifacts.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, here's the... this is actually picking up the CI build artifacts
okay,
repository.
That we generated, yeah.
So you can see here that there's a drop, and we can find the signed...
The first one,
there it is.
There we go.
So we'll go ahead and pick up that. Once again, we can reuse that same HockeyApp connection.
Boom.
The reuse of the stuff is starting to really pay off for us.
Yeah.
In this case, we're going to use another variable ID here for the HockeyApp app ID. We'll set that up. We'll skip setting that up. But basically, you'd want to create a new environment, and then that mm-hmm. new environment in HockeyApp is going to allow you to control who has access to that. So you're going to want to make sure that you're going to go into HockeyApp, add your QA team to that environment. Make sure you get gotcha. Your product owner there.
Gotcha.
You're going to want to make sure that you hit the notify user so that they get an email because
yeah.
they need to do some work.
Yeah.
You don't want to slow down your release to production because people didn't
get an
it.
Email. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then that's really all you're going to need. So you'll be able to basically save this environment. You can type a comment so people know what you're doing here for the history.
You added HockeyApp, yeah. Perfect.
And so basically now we have this HockeyApp beta gold, right? So now because we set up the, once again, since we set up the triggering, basically when we do that stuff, it's going to automatically trigger the release. If we wanted to, we could change this to be something that's more of a manual process so that we actually manually trigger the release.
Okay.
You can actually click here and actually trigger a release.
Manually, if you were, I just want a new one, okay.
And then we're going to add another environment, this time we're going to do another environment. Once again, we'll start from scratch with an empty one. This time we're actually going to do specific users. So in this case, we're going to give James here. So in this case, we're going to pretend that James is actually going to be the approver here. So in order to get from the beta gold release to the next step, which is going to be the push to the Google Store, we're going to say that James actually has to do approval.
I like that.
So rather than letting it go automatically, James is going to be able to log in. He's going to have access to the beta gold. He's going to be able to try it out. And then when he feels like it's ready to go and it's on the date and time that he wants, he'll be able to hit automatic that.
Perfect. So it's kind of like, it's like, all right, we've deployed the hockey app. This is good. Boom. But it's not going to just auto-deploy. Like, this would be anyone. Like, this is whose neck is on the line that says, like, listen, you deployed it.
That's right.
Okay, gotcha. Cool.
So, and the other thing to notice here is that when we do the trigger environment for this, you can actually notice that the trigger is a little bit subtle, right? So it says that it's deploying automatically whenever the deployment to the gold is successful. Okay. Although that always still has this pre-deployment approval.
Gotcha.
So this is basically going to stop at the thing. So once you do the approval step, it'll trigger the next step in the thing. So you can see that as these environments go down, you can basically progressively release something
release
to more and more.
I like that.
And so it would be very much possible where we could add a third step after here, where once you go to the Google Play Store, maybe you're using something like HockeyApp for some telemetry monitoring, so you can see the crash rate to make sure that your quality has integrated in beta, that you'd actually be able to come back, like say 2-3 days later after you've watched a few beta testers actually use your app, you feel like its quality is good in there, you could basically come back into VSTS. You'd be able to trigger your next approval to potentially go all the way to production.
And this is actually nice because in this scenario, you could be, you know, when you go to the app stores, those credentials are locked down. There's like developers have the keys, they have login. Often you can only add so many people to a team on Google Play or on the Apple App Store. So this could be like Scott Guthrie, right? Scott Guthrie could be getting this and be like approved, and the Goo approves it and it's good, but he may not even log in to Google Play, right? So that's that. Like, this is nice because you can say 8 people have to approve this release, but they may not even have access to Google Play, for instance. And that's, to me, is super nice because, I mean, this seems like a really awesome feature to have that same build. I think that's the important thing, too, is that it's not that, okay, we've approved this build off of this branch, and so I'm going to go build it. It's like, this build was built on this machine, and it was the same APK, and guess what? It's the same APK again.
That's right.
And I think that's what's important, because when I used to do it, I'm like, all right, cool, I know that this, like, my current build, like, it works. I'm going to generate a new one, but in release mode. And that may be different, you know, so this is kind of nice. Cool.
The advantages, too, with that early deployed a hockey app step, right? Like before the approver goes to approve it, they can take their personal device, their test device right out of their pocket. They go immediately to hockey app, they get the actual APK that's about to be released. They can install it and they can try it themselves and actually verify that and then it's the exact same binary. So same APK is going to get deployed out. So quite
perfect.
There's actually a lot of functionality here around the users for the approval, right? So if you add more than one user, say you added both of us as approval, then we would both have to approve. So you can actually have multiple approval steps. So you might need Scott Guthrie and your lead developer and your lead QA folk to sign off.
I like that.
Alternatively, you can use groups, in which case only one person of the group needs to sign off. So maybe you're happy with anybody of, say, the product team signing off feels good. So you can actually have these flexibility to determine exactly how your process works.
I like that.
For however you do your deployment.
Nice. And it'll queue up on our hosted solution, so it's not even, it's just all on whatever is in VSTS.
In this case, when we set up the task, we're going to go down here to choose the Google Play release.
Okay. So this is another, just like Hockey App, is another from the marketplace. And we have 3 different ones. So these could all be in different environments. There's release, promote. So if people not familiar with Google Play, they have a built-in alpha, beta, and production.
That's correct.
Environment. And you can do open betas. And often, I like to always say, like, well, why would you even use Hockey App, right? If you could just go to the App Store automatically. And I go, well, one, it's kind of for production, but also it takes like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because Google actually has to do automated smoke, make sure nothing's malicious in there. Well, Hockey App is just, boom, it's good to go to your testers. Then you have increased rollout. So what's cool about production, at least, from Google Play, is you can say, oh, give this to 10% of my users, 50%. So you could do like a gradual, you could really have a really nice kind of release definition here of, all right, we've released to alpha channel, now beta, now, you know, 10% to production, yeah, 20%, right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Cool. That's cool. I like that.
It's especially nice to be doing that process when you have something like a continuous monitoring setup as well.
Yeah.
So when you start to get signals back from all of those environments, mm-hmm. you can actually watch those signals. Then instead of just doing something like testing and be like, I think I tried all of the possible ways that you could possibly use this app, then you can actually see like, okay, we've had 1,000 different sessions run on this application. Nothing's crashed, everything's solid. And you can actually have confidence because you have that continuous monitoring as well.
Gotcha.
That really you're gonna be able to nail that that next release to the larger groups.
Cool, so we have the release step put in there.
Yeah, and once again, we can take advantage of some of that stuff like that service endpoint. Here, we just use Google Play. A lot of that reuse is really coming into play. And here, once again, it goes back to that same Android kind of artifact drop. Here we're picking out the same exact APK. So like I said, that one build produced one thing. It's being used for all of your release steps here.
Same one.
And then just configuration of the release. It's really all that simple here. We'll release it as an alpha. We can add some release notes just like that. There's some more advanced options around additional APKs and controlling whether or not this is actually enabled. You can turn it off if you don't want to use it right now. Other than that, it's all set up. That's just like kind of one step. You can kind of drill in here to a little bit more of the details of, say, the environment. If you actually look at, say, the you can assign them approvers and see some additional kind of
So if you need
details.
To modify it later mm-hmm. on. And then just like, it seems like it's very similar. So you have artifacts, variables, triggers, general, just like we had in build definition. Mm-hmm. So if you needed to modify those later, here's our, and that's where it's picking up from. We had another build called Android Release. So it's our release build. And then we can see on the bottom, we have those triggers. So this is everything in one place. I like that, at least like it's a consistent naming, right?
And it reuses your environment names from the stuff. So your environment triggers are all independent. They can be sequential.
Nice.
You can add or subtract. So example in here, you can edit the environmental trigger here. Like I said, you can go into the approvers and decide exactly who it is that's a pre-approvement, mm-hmm. who's going to do post thing. You can have a different queue for the stuff. You can do different deployments, whether or not you want it to be automated or not automated.
Yeah.
Some people prefer to have this be manual, especially with things like going to the production store. Maybe they like to do it all manual, so they just sit down, decide to release, check everything, hit the stuff manually. They don't want it to be automated trick off, but
gotcha.
All this stuff tends to work out really well.
So what does this look like in, so we have it, and then we would then trigger a build, go here, and that would take like 5 minutes or something like that, right?
Yeah, so we could go ahead and do something like that where we triggered the build. The build would take however long it takes to do the build, and then it would deploy out to Hockey App, so we already have some deployments in Hockey App. And then ultimately, we actually have one set up here, so you can actually see that in this case. Oh, it looks like, is it the release 8?
Yeah, release 8, okay.
Yeah, so here we'll see the most recent release. That was release 8. It was triggered automatically. This is set up very similar way, so it actually deployed out to Hockey App. But then here, it's actually waiting. So if you were James and you log into your site,
that's
you'll
me.
Check out the status of the build. And you'll be able to come down here and actually see that, oh, hey, for this release, it went to Hockey App, it succeeded.
Yeah, actually, it tells you, too. Look at right here on the right.
Yeah.
So this was published, and what happens if you click on that?
It tells you the versions.
Whoa.
You actually click, it takes you right to the release download.
I like that.
So you can try that out. You come back, if you happen to be happy with that, you check your telemetry, you talk to your team, you feel like it's good, you can just click approve.
Approve or reject.
Go ahead and approve. You can type in some comments. And as a nice little feature, you can actually defer the approval. So if you want to synchronize your release to a specific time, you can definitely hit that.
That's nice. So that way, if you're like, listen, it's prime time right now, let's do a midnight release and let it slowly trickle out to people just in case something goes wrong, you know, and try to get up early in the morning. So then approve or reject and then done. Very cool.
So yeah, I mean, I like to bring up that, you know, that statement. It's really the unity of people and process, and people and process is really your own way of doing development.
Yeah.
So we try to have a lot of flexibility in our tools to really match the way that you're doing development. So if you're doing development, you just want to get stuff out there as fast as possible to as many people as possible. It's definitely supported. If you have something that's a much more kind of controlled environment, you like to have a lot more quality and control over each step of the progression, that's definitely supported as well. The idea here is that you have one set of tools that can really craft whatever the process is that you define for yourself. It's not really dictating a process to you. Instead, it's just supporting the process that you're already probably going through.
Very nice. And it seems like, yeah, in general, we have, you know, once you have CI set up in anything, you can just put it in here. And I mean, we just did it in like a few seconds. It's really not that hard. Create a few accounts, probably.
Just a couple of accounts.
I like that. And then obviously, if we had an iOS application, a Windows application, those would go through some CI, some CD, pull it back into the portal, and same exact thing, right?
Yep, that's correct.
I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, very cool.
I do like it. And it's all free. maybe to an extent.
Yeah, to an extent.
To an extent. There's all these free tools available automatically. What happens if you hit approve? Hit approve. Let's see what happens. Let's just do it live. So I logged in with my account. You're lucky that I did that.
We'll trigger the approval.
So what's actually happening here is it's not like it's my machine, right? This is some...
It's all a cloud-hosted machine doing all this work for you.
Okay, I like that. So we've approved it, and then as we talk, something will happen, right? Hopefully.
So in the background, it's picking up the job queue. It's rolling into the cloud agent and stuff like that. And then it's going to go ahead and run the task that you have. That's the Google Play deployment task here.
I like that. So we'll see take a look. I'm a big fan of hitting the refresh button over and over again. And I sat here. There. So now we're in progress. Whoa. So it is actually going.
Yeah, so this is a live deployment. This is actually going to your live Google Play Alpha channel release.
Perfect.
So
this is how, and when we collaborate in a team building this application, this is what we want to do.
That's right.
And I like it is actually, and it auto refreshes on this page for it, it looks like. I'm a big fan of that. Like, even though when you do an auto refresh, even in an app, I always like to have a manual refresh button. Yeah. People don't trust you. I don't trust it.
No, I click this button all the
time. All the time,
just in case.
All the time.
You never know what's going on.
Yeah. This is kind of cool. So if you did schedule this, then it's like you wouldn't wait around, right? You'd be like, oh, schedule this at midnight. It's going to go, and it's good. And this is, let's see, so we have 1.4.30. Oh, boom. Okay. So it's there.
Yeah, the interesting thing is since we did this live, we should be able to swap over to the alpha version, probably refresh this.
Yeah, go for it. This is the Google Play Developer Console, where I would normally drag and drop APKs and go into the applications. And
here we notice the alpha testing version bumped up.
30. 30. Yep.
And you'll notice, I think, the latest version.
Which it is live.
Just deployed live.
Done.
On live recording.
On live, The Xamarin Show.
Yeah, live Xamarin Show.
Well, very cool. So it's all very capable. It's like it's very easy to do. I think my favorite part is that release management part. It's like so
it's
key.
Very cool.
Even as a solo developer, often I'm just working on apps by myself. So when I work on apps by myself, sometimes I don't trust myself, right? Yeah. I'm like, I want to make sure I put in those gates, even if I'm just the one testing it. Well, awesome. Well, Josh, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for just showing, coming on and showing us a little bit, actually talking through the process. Because I think when I talk to developers, it seems like CI and CD, it seems so scary, these continuous this, it seems like a lot of process to put in, but it just seems like it takes like a few minutes really to get it set up and go, and it saves you time and energy, so.
Yeah, I mean, setting it up in the tool, the idea is, you know, if you get one tool to use it, like you're already using VSTS maybe for source code, using it for work item management, everything just kind of flows seamlessly one to another. It can be really quick to set up.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Josh, for coming on. Until next time, this has been The Xamarin Show.
Thanks.